Need to order. Carrie, would you call the roll, please?
Steve Durham.
Here.
Val Florence.
Here.
I can't hear, I've got a bad. Is Steve answering?
Here.
Val Florence.
Here.
You can probably hear Steve.
Jane Goff.
Here.
Pam Mazenet.
Here.
Marcia Neal.
Here.
Deborah Sheckle.
Here.
And Elka Schroeder.
Here.
Does anybody else hear like the stuff with the speed?
Yes, I am, there's a real.
You're talking.
Sorry, Robert, I didn't get that.
Me neither.
His girlfriend's here.
Not trying to be a.
Who's on a beat and didn't tell us?
I wish, Steve wishes.
Yeah, I really wish.
Who else is at the table?
At the table, Jennifer Mello, Janelle Asmus, Jill Holly, Tony Dill, the commissioner, Steve Durham, Dr. Flores, Dr. Schroeder, Rebecca Holmes, and Sarah Matthews.
I was just wondering what staff was there. And we're not, this is not being broadcast, right, so nobody else is listening to us?
We have a, we do not broadcast special meetings, Madam Chair, but we do have a number of folks in attendance in the audience.
Okay, good, thank you. All right, moving forward, this is officially a legislative session. I understand that we have no bill. That is very annoying sound. Are you still getting it, Pam?
I am, it is very annoying.
Perhaps if you're not speaking, for those of you on the phone, I know that Leanne and others may be on the phone, if you can mute your phones, unless you're speaking, that would perhaps cut down on some of the static that we're getting.
Okay, yeah, that sounds a little better here. Yes. Again, and this is a special legislative session. I understand that we have no bills to actually debate, but Jennifer, if you'd like to lead off and give us a quick background of anything that's going on across the street this week, and if Jane and Steve have anything to add, they can do so. Okay, Jennifer?
Madam Chair, thank you. So we don't have any bills to recommend for action. We did meet as a legislative contact group earlier this week, and there were no bills that the legislative contacts wanted to refer to the entire board for a position one way or the other. It continues to be a little bit slow over at the Capitol as it relates to education-related bills. Kind of some of the smaller bills are moving apace or being killed, but in terms of the more significant, larger conversations of the session, we have yet to have any of those bills up in committee, and I think there will be some new bills introduced on some of those topics, particularly around implementation of the 1202 Commission recommendations within the next, I don't know, they're saying next week or two, so in my mind that means next 3 or 4 weeks, but we will see how that proceeds. So I would stop there, and just if there's any questions about anything specific or what's happening over there, I'm happy to respond.
Jane, Steve, do you have anything to add?
I don't know.
Jane, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm trying to manipulate.
Okay.
I have no questions. What Jane was saying is where we ended up on Wednesday.
Okay, that's fine. Before we have this other piece of information we're going to take out, but since we're talking legislation, I would again like to just remind folks about H.R. 5, which is moving through the House, Representative Klein's bill. There's a couple of pieces of real scare kind of literature out there that this is a terrible bill. It's anti-Christian. I didn't quite get that. And one of my local board members sent it to me and was real concerned about it. So I have already spent quite a bit of time, but I spent a lot more time. And I urge you all to looked, I'm not sure many of you have looked it up and become familiar with it. As it stands, just in a few general points, Title I dollars would follow the student to the schools of their choice, including charter schools. And there is a second amendment to that, which would include private schools. Now, the amendments, of course, have not been debated yet, but that's one that will be debated. It's going to be accepted for debate. It would prohibit the Secretary of Education from coercing states and providing incentives for school adoption of standards or testing. There's another amendment that has been accepted that would allow states to opt out of Common Core. Another amendment addresses that would give states the use of federal dollars to audit for the number and rigor of tests and eliminate low quality. Another amendment would allow states to give authority to allow local districts to administer their own tests. There's a lot more to it, but I just wanted to hit some highlights. All of which sound good. I think there are very few people out there, a lot of people do not understand the quality of the entanglements and the regulations that we have gotten into with the federal government in the last 30 years. There's a similar bill, of course, working its way through the Senate. Senator Lamar Alexander has a bill. I again talked to Scott Tipton, and he talked to Representative Klein and weighed in that he thought it was a good bill. Ben DeGroe, talked to Ben DeGroe and a couple of local board members. The senator's staff is working on the same process. So I would just urge you all to read all the information you can, get a hold of your own congressional reps, and push for this bill to go through. I mean, anything we can do to untangle the regulations, I think would be very helpful. Anybody have any questions? No? Okay.
Marcia?
Yeah.
This is Jane. I have been trying to call as closely as I can the last few days. There is the other side, some comments and suggestions from one of the Senate Health Committee members and some other publications that have come out. I have not had a chance to find some of those. But I'm watching it, and I'll be happy to send some additional stuff as well as soon as I can.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff out there, and of course, a lot of it is on the Education and the Workforce Committee, which we get the newsletter all the time. So, okay.
Madam Chair.
All right.
Madam Chair, this is Jennifer. May I add something?
Sure, absolutely.
Just for sake of clarity for everyone in the room, that was a discussion about federal legislation, not state legislation.
Thank you. I should have made that more clear. Yes, that's federal legislation, and we all know how slow and ponderous that is, but makes us look like real speed demons here. Okay, the second part of this has to do with the Healthy Student Survey, and the concerns around the Healthy Survey. Would somebody take a few minutes and advise everybody kind of what the concerns are about the survey? I don't know, Deb, perhaps, I know you've had a lot of people. Could you kind of summarize what the concerns are around this issue?
Sure. I mean, I think the questions I've had are just around clarity around what prompted the survey in terms of statute, what protections are in place as far as how it's released, if parents have to opt in or opt out, how we can, I know the way the survey was framed as far as what good it will do, but I mean, I guess what's the statute, what are the requirements, what are the parameters, what are the guidelines, what are the parents' rights, and all of those details. I've been looking at the document CDE put together, and that's somewhat helpful, but I think what parents want to know, at least the ones calling me, are really don't want my child to take this survey, and I don't know how to get in front of it because it seems to show up before I have a chance to say anything about it. And before I know it, it's already been taken by my child or other kids have taken it.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner, do you or staff, can you explain some of those things for us, please?
Madam Chair, what you asked for at the last board meeting was, you know, our involvement in the survey, and we prepared kind of a fact sheet. But more importantly, you asked for an informal opinion from the Attorney General. For us to be able to talk about that, we need to go into executive session to discuss that and to determine if that's to be released or not.
What procedure would you want to do that then? Because that would make all those people in the room leave. Or how would you like to proceed with this?
Madam Chair, would you like me to announce an executive session? At that point, the board can hear from Tony Darrell and make a
decision. If that's what you recommend, that's fine.
Yeah, we can come back on the executive session
An executive session has been noticed for today's state board meeting in conformance with 24-6-402-3A CRS to receive legal advice on specific legal questions pursuant to 24-6-402-3A CRS and matters required to be deemed confidential by federal law or rules or state statutes pursuant to 24-6-402-3A CRS.
Executive session for the purpose stated.
Is there a second? Angelica seconded it, Marcia.
All right. Any objection? If not, we'll move into executive session.
I just want to do a happy birthday on behalf of all of us to Pam.
Oh, Pam. Happy birthday, Pam.
Happy birthday to Pam.
Oh, happy birthday, Pam.
Shall we say?
Thank you. Thank you. I have some additional questions. Happy birthday, Pam. Whenever you're going to I have some more questions, too, but you can go first, Deborah. No, I get to say who goes first. You go first, Deborah.
All right, Pam, I'm just looking at the CDE history and the process participation data use and appreciate the summary there. Is it possible to get more detail? Because what parents want to know is this. What statute requires this survey? Why is CDE involved? What districts are chosen? How are they chosen? What discretion do parents have to get out of it? I understand the Attorney General's decision there, so that's helpful, but why wasn't that implemented when the survey was sent out? Who has oversight over the questions? I mean, the whole thing just seems really poorly handled, and it would never fly in a university if you're doing research on a whole group of people that can be harmed by it. Parents particularly very upset by it. Why is it so hidden? Why do we have to wait for activist parents to tell us about it? I mean, I feel like I'm flat-footed. I have very little information.
We have become such a different society. People weren't, I've kind of heard about these for a long time, never gave it much thought, and I think most people didn't. But right now we're in a period where people have become, much more protective of that sort of information. And I don't think it was just careless or anything. I just think it was a different period than we
were
paying as much attention as we are now, and it is what it is, so.
Marcia, Angelica.
Well, I'd like to hear from the commissioner as to, this is an obvious issue that we know that if parents know about it, they're going to be upset by. This is the kind of thing I'd like to be briefed about in advance and not stumble upon because parents get upset.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to make a motion, if that's appropriate.
Do you have it written out?
No.
Well, can you say it very slowly so we can copy it out and know what you're saying?
I'll try and speak extra slow.
Thank you, Steve.
No problem.
Slowly just for me.
I move that the board waive its attorney-client privilege and release the informal opinion of the Attorney General on this matter.
I'll second that.
Who is the second?
Angelica. And Angelica wanted to make a comment also. So.
Questions or discussions?
Well, this is not in relationship to this motion. It's in relationship to what Deb was saying, which is that parents certainly in my school district, were always notified when this survey was to come about. And this is 30 years ago. So I think it's all over the map, and I think it's been seen as a local control issue. And I'm going to guess that in places where parents didn't know, that kind of notice was not occurring. So I think we need to be real careful that all parents don't know, because parents are notified.
We need to be very careful why, Angelica.
Well, because we're generalizing that parents are the last to know, and that's not true in the districts that really worry about it. And when I was on our board, we actually had the discussion whether we thought we had the discretion to have opt-in or opt-out, and we had that discussion. So it was all very much on the table. We also received a report I don't know if it's every year. I guess it was every year. So it was much more open.
I'm trying to, you know, it's a little difficult for you. As Steve's motion simply requests that
we waive
the Attorney General's opinion and make it public, I don't think that what your concern falls under that.
I agree. I was trying to speak earlier, and Steve.
Okay. Well, if we go ahead and do this, and we still have, you know, other discussion about that, just allows us, I guess, to just be a little more free in the discussion. Let's stick to this for just this minute, unless you want to withdraw that and have a wider one and then come back. We need to, you know, this is a very narrow motion.
It'll be easier to have a full.
Okay, any more comment on this motion?
Well, it's Angelica again.
I'm
commenting on the motion. I second it and agree with it because I think it'll be helpful for everyone to know what it is that we have heard.
Anyone else? No other comments? Call the roll, please.
Steve Durham.
We did get a second. Oh, yeah, Angelica seconded it. Right. Okay. Call the roll, please.
Steve Durham.
Aye.
Dr. Flores.
Aye.
Jane Goff.
Aye.
Ken Mesnick.
Aye.
Marcia Neal.
Aye.
Dr. Sheffield.
Yes.
Dr. Flores.
Yes.
Okay, so the motion carries. Do you see that, Steve, is just allowing us to have a more free discussion as we move forward?
Yes, Madam Chair. I think it allows us to have a broader discussion about what the next actions the commissioner might take in disseminating the report with appropriate guidance to the schools. And I think once we, I don't know whether that requires a motion or whether Robert just does that, but he might be more comfortable if we instruct him or ask him to do it. So at the appropriate time, someone can make that motion.
It helps with the information.
Yeah. So maybe for purposes of discussion, I'll move that the board instruct Dr. Hammond to send to all the school districts a copy of the Attorney General's informal opinion, along with appropriate guidance for the implementation of obtaining written consent from the parent or legal guardian, and that his guidance include a recitation of the penalties that can accrue to school district employees that don't follow the guidance.
Thank you, Steve. You're talking much slower. I got all of that.
Second.
Yeah.
Second. That's good.
Okay. Any else? Great. Discussion?
Well, I'm wondering if I don't disagree with it at all, but Angelica, I'm wondering if we shouldn't do this motion next time. I think the distribution of the opinion is important so that folks know what we're really talking about here. But we passed this motion today. We may in fact have some concerns from folks, and we won't hear that. Generally speaking, we would be voting on this at our regular meeting has not been noticed, and I'm a little worried about the process.
I have to agree with you, Angelica. I sure would have no trouble with putting this off to March when everybody has, I think, a chance to get things more clearly. It's up to the rest of the board to make that decision. Other discussion?
My problem is I don't think we know exactly when it's going out, and I think parents need to know their rights before it goes out. We have such little detail on this whole survey.
So that would be another good reason to hold up for till March. Could we get more details?
Could we get some more details?
We'll do it now, because if we wait, we don't know when the survey's even going out. I'd like parents to know their rights now.
Madam Chair, this is Robert.
Thank you, Robert. I was just getting ready to ask you.
Thank you. We are prepared to just give a briefing to you, all right, and it addresses some of the questions that you have raised, and then you can ask your questions. So I turn to Rebecca Holmes.
Thank you, Commissioner. Okay. Madam Chair, for those of you on the phone, this is Rebecca Holmes, Associate Commissioner. I think, kept track of most of the questions that have come up so far. You've had the short summary information for a few days that we prepared, so I'll try to elaborate on the questions that you've asked. To that most recent question, the administration of the survey, as always, is every other year from September to December. The 2015 questions for the survey have not yet finished being completed by the steering committee or the vendor, who is the University of Colorado at Denver. So the administration, in terms of your consideration for timing, that is, I can confirm, the fall, not the spring. You may have heard reference to schools or districts being selected in late spring. That process has also not yet begun. But the process of selecting districts randomly through the UCD research process, and then seeing if those districts and schools then consent to be involved, at which they are obviously completely able to either consent or deny, that takes place in the late spring. But the survey does not go in front of students until the fall. So the other questions.
Yeah, you see, Rebecca, sure. Can you talk just a little slower?
Sure, happy to. Sorry.
Rebecca, or shall I wait?
Go ahead, Rebecca.
Yeah, I have questions still too.
Madam Chair, would you prefer that I proceed?
I would prefer that you proceed and then go back and ask the questions, because I think we lose focus when we start asking questions now, but that's up to you. You know, if nobody has any objection, let's let Rebecca continue, take good notes, and then come back and question her. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To our knowledge, before Member Schroeder's comment, to our knowledge, most districts do follow a two-week guidance process. We certainly don't know if all selected districts are doing that, but to our knowledge, at least the districts we work closely with have. The survey, as you all asked, is entirely anonymous at the student level. UCD is the partner and was the partner in 2013, and the survey does go through their IRB, their Institutional Review Board process, as well as going through the CDE EDAC process, and a number of districts then put the survey itself through a third review process at the local level. The data release is always and only in aggregate at the state or regional level based on the statistical regional health regions, which addresses the anonymity at the school and district level. The only reporting of the school and district level data is directly to that school or district. They then own that data and can choose whether that is released. So what you see shared very widely on state websites and in references, if you're looking at bullying data or teen use of alcohol data, is only aggregate either regional or state data. You mentioned that schools are randomly selected through the UCD process as part of their IRB and research process. And you've shared with you the timing. I think that was the majority of questions that you've all raised so far, and I'm happy to answer anything else that we can.
All right, questions. Deb?
Yeah, Rebecca, could you add those details onto the current guidance document, just because I think those are important details, how often it's given, and the IRB process and all of that. Am I missing that?
A few of those are there, but we can certainly add more detail.
Thank you.
Okay, Pam?
Yeah, one of my questions is, again, about how this survey came to be. And you talked about how the survey had been going on for years. In the last two surveys, or the previous survey, were the surveys before that, this intrusive in their questioning. And who put it together? Because one of the issues that I see, just as a statement, it strikes me as exploitive of children. I'm worried about children who may be experiencing or witnessing activity that might be unhealthy or detrimental, and having to confront those issues on a survey in a school setting.
I think the content of the district has changed dramatically over the years, dramatically.
I just think it's inappropriate to ask school children these questions, to collect data about activity of children and families, through the school system. It's repulsive to me.
It's very objectionable.
Anybody else?
Madam Chair, I can certainly speak to the history question that was posed in that question. The core questions on the survey have been the same since the Youth Risk Behavior Survey was administered in 1991. There then began a proliferation of questions and other surveys. So in 2013, what you saw was a collaboration of those three surveys, and that's when CDE became a member of the Survey Steering Committee with the other two agencies. The other questions that were coming from other surveys that schools felt were just creating an additional survey burden. As an example, one was about marijuana. You can imagine that the Centers for Disease Control survey does not treat the marijuana questions the same way that you would treat the marijuana questions in a state with either medical or recreational legalization. So that's an example of how the questions have grown over the collaboration of multiple surveys.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Pam? Again, I'm really having trouble understanding Rebecca, and again, I would reiterate Deborah's request that all of this detail about the history of the search survey and who is formulating the questions and how the information is being used, et cetera, I would be surprised if questions about sexual activity and drug use were being given to our kids for 20 years.
I'm
very sorry to hear that.
Rebecca, do you have samples of older
surveys? Madam Chair,
do you know how much change? Has there been a lot of change in the questions?
We can pull for you all the surveys over multiple years. Those particular categories of questions have been asked for most of the 24 years of the administration of the survey.
Okay, because while I understand Pam's concern, I also because it's anonymous, now we can't control the fact that some people might be bothered by asking the questions, but because it's anonymous, nobody's going to know what they said. And, it seems like lately we've come so far over into the privacy section that we can't gather any information at all. I see both sides of this, and I tend to think that as long as we get, that if we are to administer it and have that notice out 2 weeks in advance and et cetera, and really carefully control and allowing parents who are unhappy, like Pam, if one of your children was taking it, I'm sure you would opt out because you would feel that way. But there are other parents that don't feel that way and would not have a problem with that. And we have to do the very best we can to meet the needs of all the parents, So I see what you're saying, but I'm looking at a little broader picture, I guess. I would, by the way, and I'm sorry, I seem to have lost track. I mean, I know we have this motion in there. I personally would like to hold that up and take action on it at the March meeting when we have some of this information that Rebecca controlled for us. But that's just me. Other comments?
I'd like to see us vote on it now. And I guess my comment would be that this survey does not meet the needs of parents. It meets the needs of governmental entities. And to say that, we should somehow balance the needs of various parents, I think is really misguided. When you look at the questions on this survey, I defy us to look at, ask the parents and ask which ones feel like the survey is meeting their needs.
Well,
Other comments?
I'm wondering if we can't just table this discussion for the board meeting in 10 days so that we can get input from the community so they know what it is that we're voting on. Steve, would you consider it?
Yeah, Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'll withdraw the motion since it's obvious that none of these things are going to be sent out in the next 2 weeks. But I would just simply say, based on my experience in the last 24 hours, expect to get lobbied from everybody from the anti-marijuana crew to God knows who else about how important this survey is. So.
Well, we get lobbied on both sides, Steve. My computer is full.
Yeah, my computer isn't full of either, so that's good news on my part. But I
appreciate you withdrawing it. I would prefer to do that. Jane and Val, what are your thoughts on here?
Well, I have no objection to withdrawing whatsoever. I think it would be a good opportunity for the public to share, as they will and can. Maybe there are some answers out there. Maybe there are members of our public who are able to cite examples one way or the other of how this has benefited, how it has led to constructive initiatives, how it's led to certain pieces of legislation that have resulted in action. So I agree with the withdrawal.
Yes, I
agree. I think we need to look at that.
Yes. I'm rescinding my second. No, we're tabling.
No, I just wondered if you had any comment then. So, any objection to Steve's generous motion to withdraw the motion and take it up in March?
And, Marsha, I believe it is on the agenda for the March meeting already. I'm not sure. We'll have to see whether we have enough time allocated.
Okay.
So, Madam Chair.
All right.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Commissioner, would you tie this up for us here?
I don't know if I can tie it up, but clarifying with Steve just a minute, I will not be sending anything out to districts at this point based upon the withdrawal of that motion, just making sure that's clear. And this will be an item on for the board meeting for discussion.
In 10 days.
Okay.
Yep. But the informal opinion, Mr. Commissioner, if I may, has been released to the public.
Correct.
And has been distributed to the folks in this room.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Any more discussion on this issue? I would just make a comment that at agenda setting yesterday, we made a real effort to shorten the presentation. Several of you mentioned that, and they will be shortened. But it also means that you're going to have a ton of stuff you've really got to read very carefully if we're going to keep the discussion short. But I really appreciate Commissioners, the work that they've done to work on that and shorten it up. That seemed to be a general feeling at the last meeting, and I appreciate that help. Anything else before we adjourn?
Madam Chair?
Yeah.
Did you mean to keep the discussion short or the presentation short? Because I would like the presentation to be shorter and the discussion longer.
Isn't that what I said? Keep the presentation
short. Oh, you said
short.
Discussion short too.
Well, you said discussion
wrong. Short too, and I just want to make sure you were just.
No, we're on the same page.
Just a typo. Okay, great.
Not a typo. I'm talking.
Madam Chair.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Pam asked a very good question. Your guidance to us at the last meeting, you're going to see that we're trying to limit the presentations to allow more time for discussion. So you may criticize us for not having enough discussion. I don't know. Okay. But we're going to try this one and see what happens. Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Well, I'm assuming that what you're saying is the materials are still going to be available to us ahead of time.
I sent those to you last night.
You've got them all.
Right.
Well, thank you.
Okay, I just want to make sure that my shorter presentation didn't need less material, just shorter presentation.
And
yeah,
I would like
to. If anyone had difficulty accessing the materials that I sent last night, please let me know. It looked like they all sent from my end, but if you did not receive them, please let me know.
the same problem that...
Carrie, it came back like it was too much, it was too full or something like that?
I didn't receive that message.
Yeah, mine, I did.
One of them, I don't remember which one it was, but...
It's our computer something.
It was too much or something. I'll look at it and let you know what it was.
I will break it down into smaller chunks, and you all will probably receive 20 emails from me today instead of 8.
But at the same time, may I ask a question? Marcia, I'd like to ask to get the hard copies before and not just on. Can we still ask for this?
Absolutely, you'll have your hard copies. This is for those of you who want to read them now.
Okay.
We are preparing the hard copies, and we'll have them for you next week, early next week.
Thank you.
Okay.
Probably by Monday.
If there's nothing else, let's adjourn the meeting. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you.
No, I'm done.